Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Texts 47, 48, and 49. It's the end of this chapter. Ajamil, delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. The verse that we will chant responsively is 49. I will first read text 47 and 48. There is no purport. Yaitam paramam guyam itihasam agapaham Shrinu yach shraya yukto yascha bhaktyanu kirtayet Navaina narakam yati nikshito yama kinkarai yadyapyam mangalo martyo Vishnu loke mahiyate. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Because this very confidential historical narration has the potency to vanquish all sinful reactions, one who hears or describes it with faith and devotion is no longer doomed to hellish life, regardless of his having a material body and regardless of how sinful he may have been. Indeed, the Yamadutas, who carry out the orders of Yamaraj, do not approach him even to see him. After giving up his body, he returns home back to Godhead, where he is very respectfully received and worshipped. Text 49. Riyamano Harer Nama Grinan Putro Pacharatam Ajamilo Pyagad Dhamma Kim Uta Shradaya Grinan Riyamano Harer Nama Greenam putro pacharitam Ajamilo pyagadama Kim utashradaya greenan Mriyamano harer nama Greenam putro pacharitam Ajamilo Pyagadama Kim Utashrad Ayagrinan Mriyamano Harer Nama Grinan Putro Pacharitam Ajamilo Pyagadama Kim Uta Shradaya Nirgirinan. Yamano Harir Nama Greenan Putro Pacharitam Ajmino Pyagadama Kimuta Shradaya Greenan. Mriyamano Harir Nama. Rinan Bhutra Pacharitam. Namo Myagya Nama. Himuta Shradaya Grinan. Mriyamano Harir Nama. Ajamila Obhyagadama Himuta Shradaya Grunan Riyamano Harir Nama Anmaritadharitam Ajamila Obhyagadama Himuta Shradaya Grunan Priyamano Harir Nama Priyamaritam Ajamila Pyagadama Himuta Shradaya Grinan Priyamano Harir Nama Priyamaritam Ajamila Obhyagadama Himuta Shradaya Grinan Mriyamano Harir Nama Rinan Bhutra Upacharitam Ajamila Obhyagadama Himuta Shradaya Grinan Ladies, Yamano Harinama Rinam Bhutra Pacharitam Yam 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 Yagrinam. Okay. Mriyamana. At the time of death. Hare Nama, the holy name of Hari, Grinan, chanting, Putra Upacharitam, indicating his son, Ajamila, Ajamil, Api, even. Agat, went, Dhamma, to the spiritual world, Kim Uta, what to speak of, Shradhaya, with faith and love, Grinan, chanting. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord. And although the chanting was directed toward his son, he nevertheless returned home back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? Please repeat. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord. And although the chanting was directed toward his son, he nevertheless returned home, back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. At the time of death, one is certainly bewildered because his bodily functions are in disorder. At that time, even one who throughout his life has practiced chanting the holy name of the Lord may not be able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra very distinctly. Nevertheless, Such a person receives all the benefits of chanting the holy name. While the body is fit, therefore, why should we not chant the holy name of the Lord loudly and distinctly? If one does so, it is quite possible that even at the time of death, he will be properly able to chant the holy name of the Lord with love and faith. In conclusion, one who chants the holy name of the Lord constantly is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Now, there is an extra note at the end of the chapter here which pertains to the subject matter of Ajameel and chanting of the holy name. Supplementary note to this chapter. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to texts 9 and 10 in this chapter form a dialogue concerning how one can become free from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Someone may say, it may be accepted that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one becomes freed from all the reactions of sinful life. However, if one commits sinful acts in full consciousness, not only once, but many, many times, he is unable to free himself from the reactions of such sins, even after atoning for them for 12 years or more. How is it possible, then, that simply by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, one immediately becomes freed from the reactions of such sins? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur replies by quoting verses 9 and 10 of this chapter. And this is the quoting of these two verses. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, or for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. One may atone for sinful life and vanquish all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name, although this is not called atonement. Ordinary atonement may temporarily protect a sinful person, but it does not completely cleanse his heart of the deep-rooted desire to commit sinful acts. Therefore, atonement is not as powerful as the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the Shastras, it is said that if a person only once chants the holy name and completely surrenders under the lotus feet of the Lord immediately considers him his ward and is always inclined to give him protection. This is confirmed by Sridhar Swami. Thus, when Ajameel was in great danger of being carried off by the order carriers of Yamaraj, the Lord immediately sent his personal order carriers to protect him. And because Ajameel was freed from all sinful reactions, the Vishnu Dutas spoke on his behalf. Ajameel had a son named Narayan. And because he loved the boy very much, he would call him again and again. Although he was calling for his son, the name itself was powerful because the name Narayan is not different from the Supreme Lord Narayan. When Ajameel named his son Narayan, all the reactions of his sinful life were neutralized, and as he continued calling his son and thus chanting the holy name Narayan thousands of times, he was actually unconsciously advancing in Krishna consciousness. A little side note, because this is Namabhas chanting, he's not chanting with offense here. Very important. He's not committing sins on the strength of chanting. He's unconscious of the power of the holy name. One may argue, since he was constantly chanting the name Narayan, how was it possible for him to be associating with a prostitute and thinking of wine? By his sinful actions, he was bringing suffering upon himself again and again. And therefore, one may say that his ultimate chanting of Narayan was the cause of his being freed. However, his chanting would then have been Anam Aparad, Namno Balad Yasyahi Papa Buddhi, one who continues to act sinfully and tries to neutralize his sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is a Nama Aparadi, an offender to the holy name. In response, it may be said that Ajamil's chanting was inoffensive because he did not chant the name of Narayan with the purpose of counteracting his sins. He did not know that he was addicted to sinful actions, nor did he know that his chanting of the name Narayan was neutralizing them. Thus, he did not commit a Nam Aparad, and his repeated chanting of the holy name of Narayan while calling his son may be called pure chanting. Namabhas chanting. Because of this pure chanting, Ajamil unconsciously accumulated the results of bhakti. Indeed, even his first utterance of the holy name was sufficient to nullify all the sinful reactions of his life. To cite a logical example, a fig tree does not immediately yield fruits, but in time the fruits are available. Similarly, Ajamil's devotional service grew little by little, and therefore, although he committed very sinful acts, the reactions did not affect him. In the Shastras, it is said that if one chants the holy name of the Lord even once, the reactions of past, present, and or future sinful life do not affect him. To give another example, if one extracts the poisoned fangs of a serpent, this saves the serpent's future victims from poisonous effects, even if the serpent bites repeatedly. Similarly, if a devotee chants the holy name even once inoffensively, this protects him eternally. He need only wait for the result of the chanting to mature in due course of time. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the sixth canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Ajamil Delivered by the Yamadutas, by the Vishnudutas, excuse me. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamine Tamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Tani Nirvase Sasunivari Stati Tani. First of all, I would like to thank everyone at Hare Krishna Land at Juhu Beach Temple, from Raja Hari Prabhu, everyone, for being so welcoming, for my wife and myself. Coming here is always wonderful because we see Prabhupada's work. This beautiful temple, this beautiful facility, which is so much preaching. Prabhupada's vision was so clear even back 40 years ago in the 1970s. Today we see the results ongoing with the preaching efforts going on here. And I mentioned to Giriraj Swami how fortunate he was to be able to be serving with Prabhupada at that time directly, and how wonderful it must have been to be an instrument in Prabhupada's mission to create this beautiful place. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is a wonderful, amazing book. It is the most powerful piece of literature on this planet, in this universe. And it is not a book. It is actually an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. It is so wonderful because it gives all knowledge that we need to understand our relationship with God, with Krishna. In North Carolina, where I'm coming from, we're just a couple chapters behind. Actually, when we left, and we're still on it, I'm sure now, we're still giving classes on hell the hellish planets, the last chapter of the fifth canto. And this chapter is very, very discouraging when you read it, in the sense that it really paints the bleak and dark picture of this material world for what it is. Of course, Prabhupada wanted us to have a real view of what the material nature was. He said, you aren't scared enough of Maya. We should be really aware of the fact that this material world is a place of great suffering. And the fifth canto, especially the latter chapters, when they describe the construction of the universe, describes a place which is so complex and so amazing that one can only imagine how much more amazing and complex is the spiritual world. But how entangling the material world is and how difficult it is for the conditioned soul to get freed. And thus, that was the reason why Pariksit Maharaj, in the beginning of the sixth chapter, says to Shukadeva Goswami, where is the hope? You've just described to me a situation which is, practically speaking, hopeless. How is it that anyone can get out of here? And he says, well, let me tell you a story about how merciful the Lord is and how the Lord and the Lord's holy name can deliver everyone within this material world. And therefore, the story of Ajamila is told. And here is the end of the second chapter, of the very dramatic chapter, where the Yamadutas come and they stop the Yamadutas come first. And then the Vishnudas come and stop the Yamadutas right in the middle of their work of pulling Ajamil from his body. Now, these last three verses, actually the two verses, 47 and 48 and 49, they actually tie in very nicely together. So I'm going to read these verses together just in English all at one time, because there is especially one word that links these two verses together, and it is very important for us to understand this particular word. So the verses again are, because this very confidential historical narration has the potency to vanquish all sinful reaction, one who hears or describes it with faith and devotion is no longer doomed to hellish life. Regardless of his having a material body, and regardless of how sinful he may have been, indeed the Yamadutas, who carry out the orders of Yamaraj, do not approach him, even to see him. After giving up his body, he returns home back to Godhead, where he is respectfully received and worshipped. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord. And although the chanting was directed toward his son, he nevertheless returned home back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? Now, in both these verses, there is the word shraddhaya, or faith. Very important word, because shraddhaya is translated with faith in the first verse, and shraddhaya in the second verse is translated jai shishirasa vihari ki jai, as faith and love. So this is very important, because our faith is absolutely instrumental in our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not a process of yoga that is working from the ascending level. Like so many different processes of yoga, be it gyan, dhyan, astanga, so many different processes. These are processes of yoga where one is working on one's own principle of strength. I'm engaged in austerity. I'm engaged in tapasya. I'm engaged in these different activities that are meant to help me become realized. And usually these processes of yoga, they emphasize becoming detached from the world so that one can understand who or he or she is. And because they don't have an understanding of the Supreme Lord, understanding whom we are becomes, I understand that I am a spirit soul different from the body, the danger of Mayavad conception is very great, because we don't have an understanding of the Supreme Lord and His greatness. There is no understanding of Bhagavan. There may be a slight understanding of Paramatma and a better understanding of Brahman. So, these verses 47 and 48 of the Bhagavatam speak very strongly about how powerful the Bhagavatam is and how the Bhagavatam can vanquish all sinful reactions. And actually, it's more or less a restating of Nasta Vrayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. That it's stated in the first canto of the Bhagavatam that if we regularly hear and chant the Bhagavatam and render service unto the pure devotee, then all that is troublesome with our heart, all these sinful reactions become destroyed practically to nil. And that loving service to the Lord is established as an irrevocable fact. It can't be changed. Now, it may look like it's changed. Sometimes people, they wander away from Krishna consciousness. They become deluded by the material energy. But Srila Prabhupada saw very clearly that the devotees were making an advancement. And even sometimes he saw devotees leave and he became very disturbed. But one time when he was asked by a disciple, this is perhaps in 1973 or 4, and there are many, many devotees by now, thousands. And this disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, how many of your disciples, Prabhupada, have left Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada said, I think perhaps one or two. And he said, Prabhupada, but there's so many have wandered away from practices of Krishna consciousness and they're not in the temples. Prabhupada said, I think only one or two are eating meat. Everyone else, that was Prabhupada's ultimate standard was, if you understood at least that much, you hadn't wandered away. Maybe you'd been bewildered by sense gratification for a period of time. Maybe there had been some issues happening in your personal life. And of course, there were a few times when Prabhupada became very angry at some particular devotee, a disciple of his, who became philosophically deviant, and they were very much in more of a difficult situation, because the philosophical deviation was much more serious than a sense gratification deviation. Sense gratification is weakness of the heart, whereas philosophical deviation is the sign of our envy of God. If we become envious, well, we are envious of Krishna, but the sign of envy of Krishna is Mayavad philosophy, scientific materialism, these philosophies that minimize God. As Prabhupada said, the Mayavadis, they're actually even worse than the Shunyavadis. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, those persons who are voidists, like the Buddhists, they're honest, they're straightforward. We don't believe in God. Whereas the Mayavadis, Nirvishesha Shunyavad, they say God, there is God, but he's zero. He has no legs, no arms, no eyes, no hands. He's nothing. He said, Prabhupada said, that is greatly offensive. You're trying to say there is God, but there is no God. It's not even an honest platform. So here, the Bhagavatam is stating that for persons who have faith in the Bhagavatam, that this Bhagavatam will deliver one no matter what the sinful activities one's committed. And it says here that if one hears or chants this chapter with faith and devotion, and this is the point, we must have faith and devotion. That faith and devotion is developed by the process of Krishna consciousness given to us by Prabhupada. So if one has faith and devotion, then one, regardless of having a material body and regardless of how sinful one has been, then one is not even visited by the Yamadutas for any reason. And we see stories there over and over again. Jagai and Madhai, they had no faith and devotion. They attained faith and devotion in a flash of a moment when they had struck Nityananda in the head, when Madhai had struck and Jagai was disturbed and he... It was the other way around. But anyway, Nityananda Prabhu is bleeding and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes with his chakra. He's ready to... And Nityananda Prabhu says, no. They're all Jagais and Mudais. And at that moment, they had faith and devotion. They had faith and devotion. And everything was swept away at that moment. It was all swept away. Their past was gone. Because they completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one who reads the Bhagavatam under the direction of the pure devotee, and by reading the Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, we're reading the Bhagavatam under the direction of the pure devotee and under the direction of an advanced Vaishnava. Like so many of you are initiated by one of Prabhupada's disciples. Prabhupada's disciples are the who are initiating devotees. Radhanath Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, and so many others. Jai Pataka Maharaj, so many devotees. I mean, there's 65 now. They are Prabhupada's legacy. Prabhupada is so great that he left behind those persons who you can associate with and get pure devotion by that association. So by reading the Bhagavatam under the direction of the devotee and in association with advanced devotees, one has faith. And the Bhagavatam then can deliver one from all sinful reactions. Now, that doesn't mean we commit sin. Because if we understand the long purport here, there is a dynamic principle between faith, shraddha, sense gratification, vishaya, sin, papa, and if we have faith and understand that the relationship between faith and sin, or faith, that faith actually is destroys sin, because the sin is only the sin of the body. The faith is the faith of the soul. So in the second verse here that we read today, the one we chanted together, the word faith is shraddha is used also. But it's very interesting. When you have a great devotee like Srila Prabhupada, a Mahabhagavat, is able to actually write a purport within his own verse. Srila Prabhupada, of course, he wrote his purports to the verses, but even his verses themselves, the translations, are purported themselves. Notice what Prabhupada says about chanting in this verse. It's very interesting. It says, while suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, and although the chanting was directed towards his son, he nevertheless returned home back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? Now, the word that Prabhupada is using here is shraddhaya. That means faith. But Prabhupada adds inoffensively, because Prabhupada is making the point here. Real shraddha means without offense. If we have real faith in the holy name, we chant without offense, because it is our offenses which are holding us back from pure love of God. Without chanting purely, we can chant over and over and over again. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says you can chant for millions of years and not attain the goal, which is pure love of God. So, Prabhupada very, very forcefully states here that one must chant inoffensively. That means one must come to the platform of Namabhas, the clearing stage of chanting. Now, one may ask, or the question may be raised, well, if someone like Ajamil is capable of chanting Namabhas or inoffensively, and he's such a sinful rascal, he's committing all sorts of sins, and even described here in the verse 9, the list of sins is amazing: murdering women, murdering Brahmins, drunkards, etc. It's incredible, the list. Those persons can chant Namabhas. Why is it that we have trouble with Namaparad as devotees? The point is that we have knowledge. The point is that we have surrendered. We've come to a point of Shraddha, and then Sadhu Sangha, and then Bhajana Kriya, and we're in the process of Anarta Nivritti. And we want to come to the stage of nishta, at least, before we can begin to taste Krishna consciousness from ruchi onward. So, for one who's given much, much is expected. We've been given so much. It's not that we should be thinking, oh, therefore fortunate that we are. A case in point was a devotee whose mother was very, for most of her life, she was very, while he was a devotee, she was very unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. But towards the end of her life, when she got very sick, she became very much more open. And at the time of death, she uttered Krishna's name. And Prabhupada said, she went back to Godhead. And the devotee said, Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, she was so sinful and she ate meat. And Prabhupada said, don't be envious. Because she suffered. Like it says here, Ajamil, you know, when you're eating meat and engaged in sinful activity, you're suffering greatly within this world. If you're very fortunate, you might get, like it's described, sometimes people get honorary degrees at a university. Some famous person, like the President of the United States, they invite him to give a speech and they say, oh, you have a degree to Harvard University. Or if he comes to India, you have a degree to New Delhi University or something. Those degrees are given because he's very special, fortunate. But for the average person, they have to pay tuition, take the classes, pass the classes, do the work, write the dissertation, whatever they have to do. It is a job. You have to go through it. If you get admitted into a big university, you say, oh, now I've been admitted to a great university, Oxford in England. Great, I'm there. Well, unless you take the courses in Oxford and graduate from Oxford, your admission to Oxford isn't very much worth anything because you won't be able to stay there. So we've been admitted by Krishna's grace, by Prabhupada's grace, by our Gurudev's grace into the association of the devotees. And by coming into the association of devotees, we are now in the process of purifying our hearts and trying to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And because Krishna is so merciful, it is an easy process. But it's important that we understand that if we commit nama aparad, then we cannot make advancement in Krishna consciousness. To this point, we tell the story about Haridas Thakur and the holy name and how he was preaching the holy name to two brothers, Hiranya and Govardhan. This is a very instructive story because we've just talked about Ajamil, who was delivered from the Yamadutas, even though he was greatly, greatly sinful. He was committing every sin in the book. And we talked about how Lord Chaitanya delivered Jagai and Madai, who were so obnoxious that no one wanted to even get near them. They were so sinful. But here is another story about the result of what happens to someone who isn't so greatly sinful, but who is offensive. So when Lord Chaitanya, he came into an assembly of devotees at Hiranya and Govardhan's home, and Raghunath Das Goswami, he's still a boy then, it was before he was a Goswami, was there, and Balaramacharya, who was actually the reason he was visiting, Haridas Thakur was close to him, and he was the priest of Hiranya and Govardhan. So they had a learned assembly talking about the holy names of the Lord. And many of those in the assembly were saying how the holy name of the Lord, if it's chanted, destroys the sins of the person chanting and delivers one liberation. One becomes liberated and free from sin by chanting the holy name of the Lord. And then Haridas Thakur said, but actually that is not even the purpose of chanting the holy name of the Lord. The pure purpose of chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, is prem. We want the prayojan is prem. Prem prayojan. We want prem, and prem is delivered through Krishna's holy name. He said that even that when one is chanting Namabhas, which he compared to in the early morning before the sun rises, before the sun even comes up over the horizon, The darkness of the morning is broken. And therefore, all the thieves and the rogues and the ghosts and all the bhutas and pretas and the evil spirits are gone. Simply with the sunlight before the sun has even risen. So in the same way, Namabhas is described to be that stage of chanting where the name isn't even totally pure yet. We're just chanting free from offenses. There's no aparad. That stage of chanting will deliver one of all sins, all reactions to one's sins. In fact, all sins in this life and sins to come. And important, it's stated here in the purport that chanting Hare Krishna is not atonement for sins. Atonement for sins is a ritualistic process that every religious system in the world has. You know, the Hindus have religious atonement. Christians have atonement. It's where one goes for a whole... In Christianity, it's where one goes a whole week and then goes to a priest and says, I've done all these sins. And then you go and you take a certain ritual called communion, and then you're free from your sins. And then you sin again because there's not a higher taste. Unless one has a higher taste, param drishtavanavartate, unless one has experienced a higher taste, one won't be able to give up the previous activities which are sinful, even though one knows they're wrong. So atonement goes over and over and over again compared to the elephant's bath. The elephant goes in the water, nicely bathed, all clean, and then comes out and throws dust all over itself again. So we go into the water of atonement, nicely bathed, and we get out and sin again. Because we don't have any other engagements. Unless one has engagements in devotional service, then one is bound to become sinful. And if one isn't engaged in Krishna consciousness, which is the devotional service of the Lord, and takes up some other yoga path, impersonal yoga, then one, that's more or less like if one is working for a company. Say one is a worker for a company, and this company is producing something that's very bad. You're making bombs or something like that. You might say, oh, this is very wrong. I'm not going to make bombs. I don't want to make bombs. It's a sinful activity. So I'm going on strike. I won't do anything. So you don't do anything. Well, you've got to have a job. You've got to have an engagement. You're on strike now. And the company is still going to make bombs, and you don't have anything to do. So you're sitting there doing nothing. So this is impersonal yoga, sitting doing nothing. And because you don't know anything else to do, you finally give up and say, I need a paycheck. I'm going to make bombs again. I'm going to go back to my sinful activity again. Prabhupada gave that example. Big Mayavadi sannyasis, they come to a point where they've reached some level of realization. But what happens? They have to come back again. And they open up a hospital or a school or something like that. Because where is the engagement? In Krishna consciousness, there's engagement. We can engage our senses so that we can purify ourselves through our activities. So, back to the story, though Haridas Thakur, he's stating that just the Namabhas stage of chanting Hare Krishna, the holy name, before the sun rises, is already purified the personality of the chanter of all the sins that he or she has committed. So how much so more so would pure chanting of pure nam would do? But in that assembly, he gives the example of Ajamil in his example, saying Ajamil, so many sins committed, so much activity in his whole life, and even though he wasn't even chanting for Krishna, he was just chanting for his son Narayan, he was delivered. But in that assembly hall was one Gopal Chakravarti. He was a Brahmin, and he was a tax collector. Doesn't seem the tax collectors have very good karma, but they're not very well regarded anywhere in the world. But anyway, he was a tax collector and a Brahmana. Interesting combination. So this man, he became agitated like anything when he heard that the holy name of the Lord could deliver one from all sins. And he said, that's just poppycock. That's crazy. This is an emotional devotee. He's just speaking some kind of emotion. He's from his, he's not very smart. Like so many Mayavadi philosophers and so many scholars, they sometimes look at bhakti and they say, it's for less intelligent. They don't know about Rupa Goswami. They don't know about Jiva Goswami. They don't know about Sanatana Goswami. They don't know that real devotional service is a science and delivers one from the cycle of birth and death and delivers one to association with Krishna more than delivering from the cycle of birth and death. In fact, when I was in college, I was taking a course in anthropology, and it was about India and talking about yoga and Hinduism. And my college professor, he had lived with a smarta Brahmin in South India for a year, so he knew a lot. But he was dry, and he knew no real. He had no real taste. He was licking the bottle of honey, and he would say, "Oh yes, the real advanced, they're into Raj Yoga, Dhyan Yoga. But if you're less intelligent, the common people, they like bhakti." But this is the fool. This was the fool. This is Gopal Chakravarti. He's saying this. This is foolishness. And he said, it's such foolishness that if Namabhas doesn't deliver you from your sins, I'm going to cut your nose off. And Haridas Thakur said, well, if Namabhas doesn't deliver one from sinful reactions and purify one's heart, then let my nose fall off. Let it fall off. Let it be. After Gopal Chakravarti had spoken this way, the assembly was in an uproar. Balaram Acharya said, get out of here. And Hiranya and Govardhan said, you can't come back to our house again, that's for sure. He was driven out of the assembly because he was a Gnostic. He was an atheist. Because an atheist is one who has no faith that God can do anything by His grace. It's not that God can't do it, it's that we won't do it. We don't have the faith to do it. It's up to us to have the faith. And in special instances, Krishna will deliver persons like Ajamil to show, you think that I can't do it? Look what I can do. I can deliver anyone. Anyone. But for you, who are chanting Hare Krishna in association of devotees, you don't get the honorary degree. You have to work at it. But I've made the work easy. I've made the work easy by sending Srila Prabhupada, by sending someone who represents Lord Chaitanya and the Guru Parampara, and giving a process. What is that process? And we can read the Bhagavatam, worship Tulsi, worship the deity, take prasad, and associate with saintly persons. It becomes very easy in that case. As Prabhupada used to say, what is the difficulty? The difficulty is between the ears. The difficulty is between, it's in our mind. It's because our mind and brain have so much contamination and conditioning. Like Gopala Chakravarti. What happened to him? Unlike Ajamil, who was delivered and taken back to Godhead. Actually he was delivered and went to Hardwar and then engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness. That's an important fact, because he wasn't given a free pass, he was given a second chance. Unlike Ajamil or devotees who may be sinful and fallen away because of sinful activities, an operati like Gopal Chakravarti, what happened? 3 days later he got leprosy. And his beautiful nose, he was described to be very beautiful. A beautiful man. Great features, fine nose, fine ears, face. His nose melted away with leprosy. Haridas Thakur felt terrible. And Haridas Thakur, earlier, he took no offense. When they said, oh, he's an offender, this man deserves to be, chastised, Haridas Thakur said, look, he doesn't know anything about devotional service. He's just a dry speculator. And if you are just a dry speculator, you'll never understand the holy name of the Lord. It's not his fault. He's just very unfortunate. But the Supreme Lord didn't think that way. The Supreme Lord never, the Supreme Lord will never forgive an offense to a devotee. So, how does that relate to chanting the holy name? Nam Aparad and Vaishnav Aparad are one. What's the first offense to the holy name of the Lord? To blaspheme devotees who are propagating the holy name all over the world. When we commit offenses to a devotee, we commit offenses to the holy name. When we commit offenses to the holy name, we're committing offenses to devotee. These offenses will stop us from making advancement. Therefore, we have to know very clearly how to associate with the holy name and how to associate with devotees. Prabhupada has shown us this. And over the years, we've seen sometimes devotees, they come and go. And if they come and go because they're weak-spirited, weak-hearted, they can't control their senses, that coming and going is not so serious. They'll overcome that. But if they become offensive, that can really cover everything up. Offenses are not eternal. Advancement is eternal. If you make advancement in Krishna consciousness 1% and you leave your body, and you start with 1%. So that's never lost. But an aparad can cover one up for so long, it may take many thousands of births. So one has to be very guarded against aparad. And how to best guard against aparad is to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and follow in the lives of the Vaishnavas. Know what it is to be a Vaishnava. Know how to act as a Vaishnava. Read Prabhupada's books and learn from his purports. Hear from advanced devotees. Associate with sadhus who are tasting the holy name, who are tasting Krishna Katha, and for whatever reason, never criticize a devotee for any reason. I was reading some time back. My wife and I actually were reading an article written in 1896. By Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we didn't know who had written it until we got to the end of the article. It was sent online, and it was interesting because you know in our environment now, and I won't get into it, there are camps and everybody's fighting and criticizing, and this sounded like somebody writing an article today saying that a Vaishnava is never to be criticized, even if that Vaishnava committed sins in previous to 30 years ago. Never bring those up. And if you see a Vaishnava making some kind of an offense, never bring it up. Never make an offense to a Vaishnava. And he said, never criticize anyone in this material world. And we were thinking, wow, this is right on target. This must be a devotee who really wants to help devotees defactionalize, get rid of the factions. And then we read Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Instructions to His Disciples, 1896, in the Sajjana Toshini. This is an eternal fact. Don't commit offense. If we don't commit offense, and we don't become a Vaishnava aparadi or a guru or a nama aparadi, then these two verses, what do they guarantee? They guarantee that we'll be delivered. Now, Prabhupada is very careful here to say something. While the body is fit, therefore, why should we not chant the holy name of the Lord loudly and distinctly? We should be chanting. You have a wonderful chanting atmosphere at this temple. A long chanting, lots of devotees. And we should be practicing this chanting very distinctly and very enthusiastically. And Prabhupada says, though, if one does this, it is quite possible that even at the time of death, he will be able to properly chant the holy name of the Lord with love and faith. In conclusion, one who chants the holy name of the Lord constantly is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead without a doubt. He doesn't say when here. That's up to us. To the degree we follow this process without mixing it with our own material desires, that's the degree that we can become purified at the end of this life. We can go back to Godhead, back home, back to God in this life. But we must have the will to go back to Godhead. Because the word can in English means we have the potential to go back to Godhead. And the word will means we have the desire to go back to Godhead. To go back to Godhead, we must desire it. It's not that I don't have so much desire, but I'm chanting my rounds very sloppy, not very carefully, and I have a lot of material desires, but I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. That won't work. We must develop the will to go back to Godhead. I want to be with Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada always would say, to the degree you want to hear and chant about Krishna, that's the degree you're healthy. So the Bhagavatam is so wonderful. The pure devotee is so wonderful. The book Bhagavat, the person Bhagavat. We have both. How fortunate are we? We need to take this fortune take advantage of this fortune, make our life perfect, make our life complete. Chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant Hare Krishna, give this Hare Krishna mantra to others, and give Prabhupada and this movement to everyone we meet. Help them also make their life complete. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Is a desire to go back home, back to Godhead, is it a selfish desire or pure desire? Or if we are engaged in this devotional service, pleasing the devotees with no offenses at all, that's included in the package.
Is the desire to go back to Godhead a selfish desire? Well, there's two different ways to go. If we want to go back to Godhead because this world is terrible and I hate my responsibilities and I'm suffering this and, man, I wish I didn't have these bills and, you know, I'm getting sick, and then that becomes like a liberationist idea. And that's not that kind of so-called desire to go back to Godhead. That's not desire. But if I want to go back to Godhead so I can associate with Gaur Nitai, so I can serve Prabhupada, so I can be with Krishna again, that's good. So that's a positive reason. I want to be back where I should be. I'm like a fish out of water now. I can never be happy in this material world with anything. Give me anything in here, I'll never be, money, power, wealth, sex, whatever, doesn't matter. I'll still be unhappy. But I want to be with Krishna. I don't want to escape the material world. I want to join Krishna's pastimes. I want to be with Krishna. Beyond that is, Lord Chaitanya says, I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want women. I simply want your causes devotional service, birth after birth. That's better. Then we're back to Godhead in this life, serving Krishna. But it's a positive desire. It's a desire for positive, not a desire to get rid of something. Then that's the mokshavadi. Ah, what is it? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. You know, dharma for artha. And then we get our kama. And then we're sick and tired of all that. We want, now I want to be liberated. That's not what we want. We want to be with Krishna, to be with him. That's a good question. We can want to go back to Godhead in a positive way. Yes?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Wonderful lecture. We all desire to go home, back to Godhead. But the saying said, you deserve first, then you desire. When I don't deserve, how can I desire?
We have to work hard to deserve. In other words, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that. First, Prabhupada said it too. First deserve, then desire. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna. Act in a way that Krishna sees you. If we start acting in a way that Krishna sees us, we will begin to deserve just in that way of acting. So we take up devotional service, we find a way to engage our wealth, our words, our mind, something. Just like yesterday during the katha, which I could only understand through the interpreter, but it was very, very nice. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, etc. There are so many different processes of bhakti. Engage in one of these processes of bhakti without the desire of like, okay, Krishna, here I am. No, I'm just engaging in the desire in bhakti with the desire that Krishna will see this. In the beginning, Prabhupada had his disciples come up and say to him, Prabhupada, I've been chanting for 6 months and I still haven't seen Krishna yet. And Prabhupada said, it's going to take a little more time than that. He had other things he said too. Sometimes he told devotees, you know, a devotee would say, when I make an offering to the Lord, I sometimes see a blue light glowing coming from the Lord's tray. And Prabhupada said, don't worry, that will go away after a while. He's saying you're just imagining something. You're not so purified yet. Act faithfully for your Gurudev. Act with full faith, associate with the devotees. We get a taste. Every kirtan, we get a taste. Every time we read the Bhagavatam, we get a taste. And gradually, step by step, we become more and more deserving. And then someday, then we really can desire. Deserve desire. Same thing. Hare Krishna. Okay, well, thank you very much for the giving me the opportunity to speak about the Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.